yıkılmadı. Güzel can.
Thank you. గారు కథానాయకుడమా?
Order, please. Lipi Lekanaji Piligan Nima. Gauru Mudar.
Honorable Minister of Finance. Honorable Chief Whip. I present the budget estimates for year 2019 in terms of Section 4 and 7 of Fiscal Responsibility Act. The state responsibilities report is presented herewith. And I also propose that it should be submitted to the Committee on Public Finance. Honorable Leader of the House, House agrees. Item number one of today's order paper, Appropriation Bill 2019, second reading. Honorable Minister of Finance. Honorable Speaker, it is my pleasure to present the budget for the 2019. It is my pleasure to present my second national budget to this House. I'm happy to note that after a tumultuous end to 2018, the economy has stabilized and we are beginning to see an upswing in growth. It has also taken a great deal of hard work to bring us back to stability after 52 of the darkest days in Sri Lanka's post-independence history. In the lead up to 26th of October 2018, the economy had been adversely affected by successive years of drought that decimated rural incomes and hurt the entire economy. Global oil prices had also doubled, and the US Federal Reserve was rapidly rising interest rates. In spite of these domestic and global challenges, our government brought stability to the economy. From the end of October 2018, global oil prices began to decline sharply. The Federal Reserve signaled lower rates and consumption began to recover. Without any disruptions, Sri Lanka would have enjoyed a boost to the economy leading up to 2019. Unfortunately, Sri Lanka was deprived of the opportunity to benefit from these tailwinds as we got engulfed in a debilitating political crisis. The resulting loss in confidence spiraled into a wave of capital flight from our debt and equity markets, bleeding $1 billion within those 52 days from our hard-earned foreign reserves. As a result, the currency depreciated to an all-time low at a time when other emerging market currencies were recovering. Sri Lanka's credit ratings were downgraded, resulting in our external borrowing cost surging into double-digit levels. The timing could not have been worse, since we had to refinance $5.9 billion of external debt repayments in 2019. Tour arrivals stalled soon after Sri Lanka was adjudged the best travel destination by Lonely Planet, and a new campaign had just been launched. It was in this context that we came back into power on 17th December 2018. We have now repaired the damage to our external sector, and markets have regained confidence in the last 2 months. Today, our external borrowing costs have declined by over 200 basis points. Foreign capital is now flowing back into the economy with 3,400 million rupees inflows into capital securities since January. And the rupee has also appreciated 1.5% year to date. Therefore, a lot of the damage from the coup that had been addressed, and the economy has again been stabilized. We have now the opportunity to continue the work we had done to rebuild the economy. Fiscal management continues to improve. We achieved a primary surplus for the first time in the 5 decades in 2017 and improved it to 0.6% of GDP. This was a major improvement from minus 2.9 in 2015. Inflation has been brought under control in spite of rising prices of key global commodities. In 2017, we achieved our best ever exports and foreign direct investment, and that momentum increased in 2018. This is exactly in line with the objective of this government to reorient the economy towards greater external inflows. Mr. Speaker, we have achieved this economic stabilization and successful rebalancing after having inherited an economy in 2015 that The previous regime was characterized by wasteful expenditure, financed by expensive foreign debt with no rational plan of repaying this debt. Tax revenue had dwindled to 10% of GDP and exports had crashed to 14% of GDP in 2014. A dismal decline over two decades. In the year 2000, tax revenue was 15% of GDP and exports 30% of GDP. The economy was over-leveraged and distorted. This government
believes in growth led by private enterprise, by free enterprise, and this is the concept of Enterprise Sri Lanka that was introduced by me in the previous budget. However, by private enterprise, what I mean is the genuine entrepreneur who uses his ingenuity to compete in a fair market, the small and mid-sized businessmen that embody the spirit of Sri Lankan trade and commerce, and the Sri Lankan companies that compete on the global stage and win. There is also other segment of the private sector which is averse to competition and fair markets. The beneficiaries of a crony capitalist system that thrived as a kleptocracy which enriched those connected to the previous regime. These companies grew rich from the rents from wars of tariff protection by driving up cost of 20 million citizens. They benefited from inflated government contracts, the cost of which are still being paid off today. Some of these oligarchs yearn for the return of a dictatorship. I've even heard some of them asking for a Hitler again, which funnels so much wealth into their companies and private accounts. There is a small but powerful and influential segment of the private sector. This is not the private sector that we want to see as the engine of economic growth, but it is, I must say, is a vestige of a bygone era which will never return again. We are creating a new breed of private enterprise where success through merit and the market operates on a rules-based level playing field. Sri Lanka needs a private sector free from the protectionist mindset that continues to hold back our country's development and modernization. In last year's budget, I presented a program of economic liberalization buttressed by a robust safety net and state intervention to address market failures and ensure social justice. We will continue this framework and strengthen its key elements in this year as well. Lihil Pratipati Sahit.
Our determination to pursue a bilateral outward-oriented economy is more steadfast than ever. Towards this end, we are continuing the phasing off of para-tariffs and reducing barriers to trade. At the same time, we have built in safeguards with the passage of anti-dumping legislation and the creation of a trade adjustment program to support firms and workers in meeting these challenges of competition. We will also invest more in social infrastructure and a social safety net, while committing more funds to education and health, where the quality of that spending will take precedence. It is also time to revamp our social safety net, which have had a dismal track record in targeting and efficacy. The focus must shift to graduating beneficiaries into self-sufficient and empowered citizens. The empowerment of our citizens has been a fundamental objective of our government. This has been through political empowerment, social empowerment, and economic empowerment. This year's budget, Enterprise Sri Lanka, Empowering the People and Nurturing the Poor, is about creating a nation enriched by extending a helping hand to our people to help themselves while protecting and nurturing the poor and the weak with a strong, well-targeted social safety net. Gampiriliya, accelerating village development. The Gampiriliya scheme was launched in June 2018 to address critical lacunas in infrastructure needs that have thus far prevented our villages and cities from becoming the growth centers that have the potential to be. Once you receive the book in a short while, you will get to know the amounts that have been allocated for the Gampiriliya program. We have already allocated about 48,000 million rupees. This initiative was one of the first victims of the 52-day coup. I'm very sad to note that the then Minister of Finance brought the first cabinet memorandum to put an end to this Gampiriliya. But once we came back to power, we took the initiative to restart it. When the legal cabinet stopped the scheme at its very first meeting, the landmark project was revived by our government in January this year. The allocation for 2019 has been increased from 200 million to 300 million per electorate. Towards this, 48,000 million rupees has been allocated for 2019. The scope has also been widened. For example, the allocation for places of worship has been increased from 500,000 to 1 million rupees. And you can get more information on them at note 3, A10. Enterprise Sri Lanka taking off. Mr. Speaker, we have also launched the Enterprise Sri Lanka loan schemes on an island-wide basis in 2018. To create an entrepreneurial society. Particularly amongst our youth, by providing access to capital at concessionary interest rates based on projects that are presented to our banks. The scheme has been further expanded and deepened and will be aggressively promoted through awareness and other programs island-wide. National Youth Council certificate holders will be given preference for Enterprise Sri Lanka loans. Mr. Speaker, in the last few months, more than 30,000 entrepreneurs have benefited from the Enterprise Sri Lanka loan scheme, with almost 60,000 million rupees being disbursed. A full list of all these loan schemes with details is annexed herewith. Further details can be obtained from Note 3B. However, in spite of the government bearing a significant portion of the interest of these loans of the Enterprise Sri Lanka scheme, the small entrepreneurs are still faced with the challenge of providing collateral as demanded by the banks. As such, I propose to establish a fund under the Central Bank of Sri Lanka to provide guarantees to the SME sector for which necessary allocations will be made. We also wish to get complaints of bank officers discouraging new enterprises. Therefore, we have also commissioned a call center 1925 to receive such complaints. The chairman of Mathara Prat Sabha also got a loan from this scheme. There is no political affiliation for this, but still there are some officers who discourage this. That's why we have established a hotline, and anyone who has complaints can lodge those complaints through this 1925 hotline. And I too get all the details personally. In addition to addressing costs of finance, Enterprise Sri Lanka will support startups and small business to connect with markets in product development and business management. Enterprise Sri Lanka customers will be linked with relevant government institutions such as ITI, ICTA, EDB, and universities, along with larger private sector companies, to build capacity in these areas. Enterprise Sri Lanka would become a larger ecosystem for startups and small businesses to thrive. As a further measure to support the growth of SMEs and small business, it is necessary for government procurement to provide better opportunities for SMEs. I propose that all ministries and departments earmark at least 10% of this of the value of the procurement to Sri Lankan SMEs. The necessary amendments to procurement guidelines will be drafted. In addition, excise duties on small trucks will be reduced, along with LTV, which will be increased to enable better affordability for SMEs. Growth through supporting livelihood development. Mr. Speaker, the performance of agriculture, fisheries and plantation sectors can increase their productivity with the infusion of technology and change in systems, which will result in higher yields and better quality of products. Building on the success of agriculture, technology demonstration parks are now being established by the Agriculture Sector Modernization Project, which will support the linkage of farmers with agribusiness value chains for the infusion of technology and developing high-value crops. The program will be extended to 5 districts, Hambantota, Kurunagala, Puttalam, Ratnapura and Kekol. A key requirement in agriculture is effective storage and warehousing facilities to minimize post-harvest losses. Following the completion of the first such establishment in Dambulla, the government will invest in setting up modern climate-controlled warehousing facilities in Katunayaka, Ambalapitiya, Jaffna and Kappettipolle. private enterprise will be invited to manage and operate these facilities. Additionally, private investment in climate-controlled logistic facilities will be facilitated by removing upfront costs in establishing such facilities. The Dhirisavya loan scheme, initially introduced to support poultry producers to expand their distribution network, will be extended to support those in small-scale animal husbandry activities and the self-employed who engage in manufacturing activities. The details of this program also annexed to this talk. The lack of latex has become an issue for the value-added rubber-based industries such as tire producers in the country. As such, to facilitate replanting and new planting of rubber, we have doubled the incentive given, for which 800 million rupees has already been allocated. At present, local tire producers have no access to testing and phototyping in the country. As such, I propose that the Export Development Board facilitates the private sector to establish a fully-fledged research facility. While there are significant opportunities for the value addition in the coconut industry, the regulatory framework has become a hindrance in the facilitating entrepreneurs to invest in the industry. As such, the existing licensing mechanisms for the processing of desiccated coconut chips, charcoals, etc., will be revisited with a view to simplification. The ceramic industry has faced similar issues in mining and transport of raw materials such as clay. It is proposed to review these regulations with a view to facilitating the industry whilst ensuring necessary environmental protections. Ceylon cinnamon, the finest in the world, is faced with many issues compromising its competitive advantage in the global market. We will make it mandatory for all cinnamon exporters to be subjected to certified quality control testing at the point of export. However, those who fail such certified tests will be supported to improve their operations within 12 months as part of the Export Market Access Program. EDP will facilitate this process. The Cinnamon Training Academy at Kozhikode Balapitiya will be supported to be fully operationalized, which will address the lack of cinnamon peelers.
Ceylon cinnamon will be supported to obtain and maintain geographical indications in line with the country's policy to protect the identity of its products, and for this purpose we've allocated rupees 50 million and similarly to support the agriculture and the plantation sectors in ensuring better water management. The work at the Moragakanda Kaluganga multipurpose development project will be completed in 2020. Accordingly, work will commence on the Wayambamahaela Mini Bay and NCP canals, which are expected to facilitate the movement of water from the Moragakanda reservoir to the water scarce regions, ensuring cultivations during both the Yala and the Maha seasons. For this purpose, we have allocated 12,000 million rupees. further in order to urgently resolve the wage issue of the plantation workers. We will discuss an acceptable solution with the tea board and implement on an urgent basis. And yesterday also we discussed this matter with the plantation leaders, including Honorable Minister Dikambaram. Then I proposed supporting the Nangong Lanka Micro and Small Enterprise Development Program, and for this purpose I propose to allocate 2,000 million rupees. Further rupees 2,410 million has been allocated to complete the canals and headworks of seven major projects in 2019, including the Dadurwai project, the Maniganga reservoir project, and the Morana reservoir project, which will directly benefit almost 21,000 families engaging in agriculture. Mr. Speaker, with the European Union opening its markets to Sri Lanka's fisheries products, the total seafood exports to EU alone has increased by 14% to $290 million in 2018. When our government came to power, there was such a ban, and through negotiations we were able to get that ban lifted. And through that we have been able to create a new era for fisheries sector. However, the supply remains constrained mainly due to the inability to maintain the required standards in the products. Honorable Speaker, rupees 1,300 million has already been allocated to complete the ongoing rehabilitation of harbors, anchorages and landing sites, and work will also commence at two new harbors at Point Pedro and Pesale and an anchorage in Mandathiu. The artisanal longliners and multi-day boats will be supported to improve their storage facilities and safety standards. As such, the government will bear 50% of such cost, while the Ranna Swarna concessionary loan of the Enterprise Sri Lanka scheme could be accessed to finance the balance 50% of the cost of acquiring and installing chilled seawater and refrigerated seawater systems, thereby improving the quality of the catch and also safety devices such as vessel monitoring systems, man overboard, smart finding devices, emergency position indicating radio beacons, etc. We will further support the primary school children's nutrition effort by providing a free glass of milk to students in all rural schools in the country. Mr. Speaker, in ensuring the rights of all, we recognize that especially the rights of the vulnerable and the marginalized must be upheld. We must address the inequalities in our society that prevents economic freedom and empowerment of these people. Mr. Speaker, in spite of the country reaching middle income status and in spite of millions of rupees being invested in sophisticated expressway projects, city developments, etc., almost 260,000 houses in the country are without sanitary facilities. For example, the Hambantota district of the Honorable Leader of the Opposition, there have been many development activities, and there are many highways which you can't find even in Los Angeles in USA in Hambantota, but only 5 to 6 cars use these roads per day. Then there in Hambantota in the Hampanta district, which saw a splurge of mega projects in the form of California style highways, Chinese style conference halls, and sports stadiums have over 15,000 people without even the most basic of sanitary facilities. So can you call this development? Because a large number of people have been deprived of these facilities. In the Mandragala district, we have already started a number of development projects. Even though your government was in power for 10 years, you have not been able to provide the required facilities to the people of Mandragala. Interruption. As such, we will provide all such houses in the country with sanitation facilities within 2 years, benefiting almost 1 million of our citizens, and we will also construct expressways to Mandragala and Ratnapur and other areas. So while we are carrying out these mega development projects, we are also going to protect the people in the lower strata of society. Therefore, Honorable Speaker, I propose that by the end of this year, there will be no homes without toilets in Sri Lanka. And for this purpose, I propose to allocate 4,000 million rupees. Then, Honorable Speaker, many bus terminals and railway stations, sanitary facilities are also in atrocious condition. We know that today commuters can't use the toilets in bus stations and railway stations. They are like hells. Yes, we have to provide them. We have to provide the people with toilets. Therefore, funds will be allocated to improve them. So, such facilities will be provided for men, women, and those with special needs. So, we will construct toilets and we will hand them over to the private sector to maintain them. Once built, the private sector will be invited to maintain these facilities. In your district, there are 4 to 5 persons in each home, each household. In Sri Lanka, there are about 60,000 houses without toilet facilities, so we should be ashamed about this situation. So we have not been able to look after the poor people of this country, and we should be ashamed of this situation. So the maintenance of these facilities will be handed over to the private sector. Those in the bus stands, not the ones at homes. Mr. Speaker, while we are proud that the female student population at our universities constitute about 50% or more, women constitute only about 30% of the labor force, often making them financially dependent and thereby disempowered. The lack of child and elderly care facilities and inflexible labor laws have been identified to be the reasons that women leave the labor force or never enter it at all. As such, I encourage commercial establishments with more than 250 employees to provide child care facilities. Also, selected schools will be supported to establish after school and vacation centers within the school itself, while the private sector will also be f- facilitated to establish child care facilities through the Prakawarana Concessionary Loan Scheme of Enterprise Sri Lanka. The Ministry of Women and Child Affairs will issue the necessary guidelines and the regulations for establishment and operation of child care centres, after school and vacation care centres and similar facilities. The limited participation of women in the workforce is a clearly identified growth constraint. We will encourage the private sector to support our working mothers by allowing 50% of the salary cost of the mandatory 3 months maternity leave granted as an additional deduction in calculating their corporate taxation, subject to a maximum of 20,000 rupees per employee per month. We will extend this to an additional reduction of 100% for the 4th month of maternity leave, if so granted. The concession would apply for a 5-year period.
Structural and business practices that result in the exclusion of women from important decision-making roles in society. As such, I propose a sequenced approach to enable greater participation of women in boards of listed companies. The Security and Exchange Commission will be encouraged to implement this proposal. අපේ ආර්ථිකයට කාන්තාවන්ගේ ක්‍රියාකාරී දායකත්වය ලබා ගැනීමේ අවස්ථාව වැඩි කිරීම සඳහා ඔවුන් හට පහසු වේලා තුල වැඩ කිරීමටත් නම්මශීලී වැඩ කරන වේලාවක් ඇති කිරීමට නිවසේ සිට වැඩ කිරීමටත් හැකි වෙන පරිදි කම්කරු නීති සංශෝධනය කිරීමට මම මේ සභාවේ සහයෝගය ඉල්ලා සිටිනවා.
It will facilitate more women to be active participants in our economy. Mr. Speaker, the quality of the elderly care in the country varies sharply in the absence of a proper regulatory framework and the lack of an adequate supply of such services. As such, while strengthening the National Elder Secretariat, we urge the Secretariat to create a proper regulatory framework, and we will also incentivize the private sector to invest in elder care facilities by making available to them the Prakawarana Concessionary Loans of Enterprise Sri Lanka. At present, differently abled individuals are paid an allowance of rupees 3,000 per month. While increasing the allowance to rupees 5,000 per month, we will expand funding to accommodate almost the 72,000 eligible low-income individuals. Rupees 4,320 million has been allocated for this. This allocation will be enable us to eliminate the waiting list. In order to encourage more inclusive employment, private entities that recruit at least 5 persons with disabilities will be provided with the salary subsidy of 50% of the salary per person, up to an upper limit of rupees 15,000 per person per month for a period of 24 months. Also, at present, 21,000 CKDU patients are paid an allowance of rupees 5,000 per month. We will expand the scheme to cover a further 5,000 patients, thereby eliminating the waiting list, for which rupees 1,840 million is allocated. Honorable Speaker, often our prisoners are inundated not with drug kingpins, but the innocent victims of the drug mafia, most of whom are less than 30 years of age. Now, His Excellency the President has launched a program in collaboration with our government to combat drug menace, but we know that most of those who have been imprisoned are innocent victims and not drug kingpins. Recently, I spoke to DHG Latif and he told me. He told me that prisoners he told me that drug addicts who go to prison, when they come out of prison, they start selling drugs. So this, we have to change this situation. So, Honorable Speaker, putting them together with hardened criminals is not the best method of weaning them away from this dangerous addiction. To rehabilitate such inmates, two kibbutz-style farms under the prison authorities with the required facilities will be established in Ambepusa and Vila Vila. Then, Honorable Speaker, today the prisons are also congested with women convicted of minor offences. So even for minor offences, they have been imprisoned and left alone without any transformation. We will surely turn most of them into hardened criminals. As such, to ensure more humane conditions, it is proposed to identify a specified area in Dompe to establish a facility for training and development in spheres such as arts and crafts and other productive livelihood skills. Honorable Speaker, during 2018, significant progress has been made in meeting the housing needs of the people. Honorable Speaker, in fact, we have been able to achieve a historic progress in the housing sector. Our strategy has also been to address the issue of providing better housing for especially the most vulnerable sectors of the society, including the low-income groups in urban, rural and estate sectors and the north and east, mainly through the Urban Regeneration Project and Model Village Program, for which ₹24,500 million has already been allocated in 2019. At the same time, work on 15,000 brick and mortar houses in the northern and eastern provinces will commence in 2019, with an allocation of ₹4,500 million being already made. A further ₹5,500 million will be made available for these initiatives. Ongoing work to address the issues of resettlement of Muslims who were once forcibly evicted from the north will continue and resources will be channeled accordingly. Several middle-income housing projects which are reasonably priced have already been completed, while a few more are about to be completed or about to start work in 2019 in Vadhu, Ragama, Yakkala, Kundasale, Purella, Panipit, etc. by the National Housing Development Authority and the Urban Development Authority. However, to support especially the middle-income first-time home buyers, the government will launch a concessionary loan up to ₹10 million at a 6% interest rate with a repayment period of 25 years called Home Sweet Home Loan. This will be for young couples buying or building their first home. So, It has a repayment period of 25 years. Honorable Mahendrananda, we'll have to take more than one loan. In fact, this is a very important loan scheme. Today, a young couple can go to a bank and obtain this loan, and the repayment period is 25 years, and the interest rate is only 6%. This Enterprise Sri Lanka loan scheme will be extended to also purchase mid-range apartments and houses built by private entities. Our migrant workers are faced with significant issues in building a house. As such, we will introduce the Sihina Malika loan scheme in order to make their dream home a reality under Enterprise Sri Lanka. We know that most of our migrant workers, they go abroad to construct a house of their own. So migrant workers registered with the Foreign Employment Bureau and currently working abroad will be able to get a loan of rupees 10 million where the government will bear 75,000 of the interest cost. And where the tenure of the loan will be a maximum of 15 years with a 2-year grace period. So I believe that this is the greatest size that we can offer to these migrant workers, because they all want to construct their own house.
In the 2018 budget, we announced the launch of the Export Market Access Scheme and the National Export Strategy. Support will continue this year with 400 million allocated for the Export Market Access Program, and rupees 250 million will be allocated to the National Export Strategy. The NEs include the implementation of the National Quality Infrastructure Strategy, which is a public-private collaboration that entails upgrading of technical facilities for export product development and import quality testing. The government is committed to the strategy of a network of trade agreements to link into regional value chains. With the successful completion of the Singapore FTA, we will review progress in ongoing FTA negotiations with India, China and Thailand, and build on learning from the Singapore FTA process. A break into India and China market entry strategy are being prepared, building on success stories from Sri Lankan enterprise in those markets. This will be further supported by establishing trading houses for priority sectors in collaboration with the private sector in key markets. These trading houses will support Sri Lankan firms in securing distribution networks, buyer linkages and other ground support. As a measure to bring down the cost of living and improve economic competitiveness, in last year's budget, it was proposed to phase out all paratariffs, starting with 1,200 paratariffs that were removed in November 17. This process will continue in 2019, where all HS codes with an import cess will be subject to a phasing out. In order to allow more time for industry adjustment, it is proposed that the paratariff phase out takes place over a 5-year period. In order to reduce the upfront cost for business and investment, I propose to reduce the ports and airport development levy for machinery and equipment items to a maximum of 2.5%, HS Code Chapters 84 and 85. I also propose an accelerated cess reduction program for intermediate goods that drive up costs in sectors such as the construction sector, tourism and manufacturing. These items will have cess phased out over a 3-year period. In this process, it is essential to support domestic industries that will face greater competition from imports. legislation on anti-dumping and safeguards has already been passed by this House. In addition, a trade adjustment program has been formulated, which will provide vulnerable firms and workers with financial support to meet costs of upgrading technology and training respectively. We will also ensure that 10% of all HS codes considered to be sensitive items will not be subject to a complete paratariff phase-out. Necessary improvements to the national quality infrastructure have also been made in order to ensure quality standards of all products, including imported products. In order to make recommendations on implementing the trade adjustment program, I propose to establish a trade and productivity commission under the Ministry of Development, Strategies and International Trade. I propose to allocate rupees 500 million over 2 years for the implementation of the trade adjustment program. We are launching the Enterprise Innovation Program, which will support the development of innovative new products and technology by Sri Lankan firms. The program will be implemented over 3 years, providing matching grants for proof of concept prototyping, R&D and technology adoption. In order to support financing for startups, it was proposed to introduce limited liability partnership structures in the last budget. The initial drafting has been completed and this will be developed into legislation this year. Sri Lanka needs to develop capital markets beyond bank financing. The backbone of a deep and liquid debt capital market is a robust government securities market. We will introduce scripless Sri Lanka development bonds and enable coupon stripping of treasury bonds. We will also work with the CBSL to invest in the necessary infrastructure towards its end. While Sri Lanka achieved its best over FDI in 2017 and 2018, it is essential to further expand investments into the country. Therefore, an incentive package to attract high-value investment is proposed. This includes a significant capital allowance of up to 150% of investment value and removal of upfront taxes for investments over US dollars 50 million, US dollars 100 million and US dollars 1 billion. Subsequent to consultations with the private sector, we propose to make some adjustments to the Inland Revenue Act to facilitate implementation and address some pertinent concerns of industry. These are outlined in the technical notes. Work on the Bingiri and Wagavati industrial zones will be supported to further facilitate our export drive. And yesterday we saw the work commencing at the Bingiri industrial zone. We have allocated 500 million initially for this project. We will establish industrial estates under the IDB in KKS, Manta East, Parantan, Kondachi, Kinya, Samanture and Trincomalee. The IT initiative will be expanded to facilitate the arts to science internship program, where the industry will train 1,000 unemployed, mostly arts graduates through internship for a year in IT, BPM, KPO firms, where 50% or up to a maximum of 25% of the monthly salary for a period of 12 months.
The government pays 25,000 of the allowance of this. 300 million has been allocated.
Imposed on the companies predominantly engaged in the information technology services to be eligible for the special additional deduction of 35% in the salary and expenses incurred. We will introduce a consolidated border control unit that includes the Navy, Customs, Immigration, Quarantine and other national quality assurance entities such as ITI, SLSI and NARA. Customs will also re-establish the Marine Division in order to stamp out illegal smuggling and the narcotics trade, 250 million. The government is in the process of drafting a new Customs Act. However, in the interim, it is proposed to introduce some of the key amendments that are relevant to improving trade facilitation by enhancing transparency and consultation, developing appeals process and risk management. In the spirit of consultation that is espoused among those amendments, the proposed amendments will be subject to stakeholder consultations prior to implementation. A revenue intelligence unit will be established at the Ministry of Finance to take steps to assist our main revenue collection department, such as customs, inland revenue and excise, to broaden their revenue collection bases, increase total revenue collected and minimize leakages and evasion. Customs will also launch the Authorized Economic Operators Program this year, which will provide expedited clearance for identified low-risk traders and clearing agents. Risk-based clearance of this nature will enable customs to focus resources on higher-risk cargo while facilitating compliant traders. The government has imposed administered prices for certain items for consumer protection. However, it is also necessary to enable reasonable price adjustments to ensure unhindered supply. Towards this end, the government will introduce a mechanism to review administers prices on a quarterly basis to take into account exchange rate fluctuations and other valuables. The gem and jewellery industry will be supported with the PAL and customs duty on the importation of machinery used in lapidaries, and the PAL on the uncut gems imported will be reduced from 7.5% to 2.5%. Tourism is a key sector with high potential to contribute to growth in the short term. Recognizing the costs inherent in the sector, nation-building tax on foreign currency receipts by tourist hotels registered by the SLTDA will be removed. It is also proposed to make it mandatory for travel agents to remit funds to hotels in US dollars when invoiced in US dollars. The central bank will issue directions in this regard. Mr. Speaker, the infusion of technology, especially in facilitating online hotel reservations, has changed the traditional hospitality industry, with the informal sector growing and remaining unchanged. In this regard, while we recognize the benefits of the online reservation systems, we are mindful of the need to gradually integrate the SME tourism sector with the formal economy. As such, from the 1st April 2020, any online booking reservation website can register hotels and similar establishment offering more than 5 rooms per property only, I stress, if such establishments are registered with the SLTDA. The registration process of the SLTDA will be simplified to facilitate this. At the same time, in keeping with our policy of supporting the industry to diversify into new frontiers such as sports tourism, I encourage the private sector, together with the Sri Lanka Tourism Development Authority, to promote Sri Lanka as a preferred destination in international go-kart racing. As such, I propose to remove customs import duty and cess on go-karts and the tyres used in go-karts. Economic service charge applicable for export sector, which are subject to corporate income tax of 14,000, will be reduced to 0.25% from 0.5%. This will be a major boost to exports, IT and tourism. To support the refurbishment of hotels, the applicable cess rates will be reduced on selected items. The Central Cultural Fund will provide necessary funds to improve and establish common facilities, including restrooms, signboards, security booths, information booths, as tourist attractions, which are at present in a deplorable state. The entrance fees at national parks and cultural sites will be reduced by 50% for international tourists with student identification. Taruna Sanchara Kanta, Shishya Sanchara.
Young students, especially students less than 18 years of age, will have reduced rates for fees at national parks and cultural sites.
Construction company. This is also, I think, a very important proposal for the local construction industry. No foreign construction company will be allowed to tender for government projects unless the project is fully foreign financed without forming a joint venture with a local construction or a consultant company.
Compulsorily, a joint venture should be established here, because in Colombo, construction Many construction organizations are in existence.
Benefit from the transfer of technology. The cost of construction will reduce with the proposed paratariff revisions and the removal of NBT on the main construction contractor. In order to further support the property development sector, I propose to grant residential visas for 3 years to foreign nationals who invest US$400,000 or more in condominiums. This process will be implemented this year. The residential visa will not be valid when the foreigner exits from this investment. Cess on imported construction material will be reduced by 30%. Sustainable Energy Authority will introduce a minimum standards in energy to be established for all commercial buildings in 2019, where existing commercial buildings will be given 5 years from 2019 to transit to be compliant with the minimum standards issued. At the same time, Mr. Speaker, we do not have minimum standards imposed on many of the building materials used in the construction industry, giving rise to several negative impacts, including compromise in the stability and the sustainability of the buildings and other constructions undertaken. As such, the the Sri Lanka Standard Institute will update and implement minimum standards on sanitary ware, taps, showers and pipes by April 2020. This will address major sources of water wastage. Danuma magin mehewana labana kusalata.
Knowledge driven skilled society. Mr. Speaker, our investment strategy in the educational sector is driven by the twin objectives of ensuring the availability of infrastructure and creating opportunities for students to excel through improvements in the curricula and teacher training. Our government program of ensuring 13 years of education for every child will be further supported this year. As such, we have already allocated 32,000 million rupees to improve laboratories, classrooms, libraries, sanitary and water facilities, and teachers' quarters, etc. 32,000 million for that. At the same time, the implementation of the continuous professional development in teachers facilitated by the infusion of technology will be supported using existing facilities. These courses will be conducted during school holidays. Already we have allocated 100 million. Instead of by-hearting lessons, we should move towards analytical and explorative methods. Focus more on analytical and creative learning as opposed to rote learning. Our future investments will be guided by the STEM A Master Plan, which is being finalized, and this will allow students to pursue a combination of subjects such as mathematics with music or biology with English. Mr. Speaker, I am also delighted to announce the launch of the Scholarship for Educational Excellence, which is a very important proposal. Those who pass with highest rankings at examinations will be given the opportunity to receive scholarships with the blessings of the Ministry of Finance. It's called C Fund. It's for educational excellence. C Fund identifies the highest, who obtain the highest results and give them the opportunity to study at prestigious universities in the world. The first batch will be chosen from the results of 2019 A-levels in August. 15 students have been decided to be given So 14 scholarships will be given this year to those who top their respective areas to study in institutions such as Harvard, MIT, Oxford, Cambridge, etc. At least the first five ranking, highest ranking students will be given. We start with 14, but by the next year, this fund will be further strengthened. Private sector can also inject money into the fund. Then we intend to increase it. In 2020, we will send 28 students to study at foreign universities. This will enable Sri Lanka to have the to create students of highest quality. There's only one condition. 10 years of service should be offered to Sri Lanka after completion of the education. Thereafter, they can go to any country. Therefore, under this C fund, Scholarship for Education Excellence, we will be investment in preschool education has been neglected. We wish to encourage private investment in this sector, with the government taking a more robust role as a regulator by defining and ensuring compliance with minimum quality standards. Towards this end, the government will introduce a legal framework for regulation and governance of preschool education in Sri Lanka. A national curriculum framework for preschool education will be implemented along with enhancement of teacher training and working conditions. Those with the required qualification will be facilitated to establish and require government registered preschools, for which we will introduce a concessionary loan scheme, Sigiti Pasala, under the Enterprise Sri Lanka scheme, where the government will bear a 50% interest subsidy. Explanatory note 3B1.16 should be referred in this regard. Already, 25,000 million rupees has been allocated to meet the infrastructure gaps at our universities, with investments in theatre complexes, professional units, departmental complexes, libraries and canteens. To complement the medical faculties at the Vayamba and Sabaragamu universities, professorial units will be established at Kuliapitiya and Ratnapura hospitals, while a faculty of allied health science at the University of Ruhuna will also be established, which will enable students to pursue careers in medical related services, which is an urgent requirement in our country. A state-of-the-art laboratory for research in areas such as cancer, diabetes and infectious diseases will be set up at the medical faculty of the Sri Jayawardenepura University. Mr. Speaker, only around 30,000 students enter universities from over 300,000 who sit for the A-levels. We will introduce a loan scheme that is 30,000 out of 300,000. Non-state universities, as for non-state universities, for bachelor's degrees, many students should have the opportunity, but they cannot afford it. That's why those who are unable to enter state university will be facilitated by My Future loan scheme under Enterprise Sri Lanka. A student can draw up to 1.1 million at zero interest, with the prepayment starting only after 2 years of graduation, to be repaid over a period of 12 years. The explanatory note will be available at note 3B111. We have allocated 200 million rupees for this purpose, to meet this interest subsidy. Skills for work. Mr. Speaker, although the government has been investing heavily into the vocational training sector, the industry demands remain largely unmet on two fronts. That's the inadequate number of skilled and self-reliant craftsmen, technicians and technologists, and the lack of necessary skills. clearly an integrated solution led by the industry will be the best solution. As such, the following are proposed. Selected vocational training institutions where the resources are not fully utilized will partner with selected industry associations in information technology, construction, tourism, etc. to conduct training as required by the industries themselves. There is also a requirement to promote Tamil medium teacher training as a matter of priority. I propose 400 million rupees to be provided to the Ministry of National Integration, Official Languages, Social Progress and Hindu Affairs. We will support CIDA, SIDA, to train the required skilled and semi-skilled workers for the construction industry. We have allocated 300 million rupees for this purpose. There is an urgent need to develop relevant skills in the healthcare sector. We encourage the private sector to offer internationally accredited training courses for nurses, because if a person conducts nursing training, it's not difficult to get visas. Therefore, for each person who gets training, will be provided a stipend of 10,000 rupees per month per trainee for a period of 2 years. The nurses so qualified will be able to seek employment in non-governmental institutions. A similar apprenticeship program will be encouraged for pharmaceutical professionals. Pharmaceutical companies will hire science graduate apprentices for a one-year program to be accredited by an appropriate institution, and the government will provide a stipend of 15,000 rupees per month per apprentice for that year. 15,000 rupees. The success of such apprenticeship program will enable replication for other industries going forward. The Sri Lanka Army has come forward to support the government's drive to effectively train those interested, especially those from low-income backgrounds, in agriculture, animal husbandry, ornamental fish, use of heavy machines such as backhoes, motor graders, dozers, and also undertake training of electricians, welders, air conditioning technicians, catering assistants, stewards, carpenters, masons, and plumbers. These training courses will be NVQ certified, and the training will be undertaken at selected army camps. Today's army is contributing greatly to the building of the nation, and they have come forth to provide training to students, and they have promised that youths who are talented in sports training will be given to students at their gyms. The trainees will be given a stipend, and the concession registry ticket already made available to VTA trainees. The army will also train our youth in selected sports at their camps in different parts of the country. A healthy society. Mr. Speaker, we have allocated 24,750 million rupees in improving the quality of infrastructure, with allocations being provided for the investments in new equipment, rehabilitation of buildings and other infrastructure at hospitals and other such facilities. This is an increase of 38% in provisions compared to last year. 1,625 million rupees has been allocated already to strengthen the primary healthcare units, especially in the Uva, Sabaragamuwa, Central and the North Central provinces. With the introduction of systems to coordinate patient care over time and through the referral networks, facilitating the ability to follow up on patients at risk, which will also support to avoid duplication between providers. This will prevent from same patient being given treatment at different hospitals. Our Surya ambulance service has been a resounding success, bringing an essential service to our citizens. This service will be supported to expand island-wide. Towards this end, 300 base stations will be set up in 2 years at a cost of 600 million rupees. 100 base stations will be set up this year, and I propose to allocate 200 million rupees for this purpose in 2019. Mr. Speaker, we continue to allocate resources to address the issues in CKDUs, standing for chronic kidney disease of unknown etiology. As such, we will provide home dialysis machines while also strengthening the hemodialysis centers in 45 hospitals together with RO water plants, which are provided free of charge. Early detection through doorstep strength screening will be further strengthened in the most CKDU vulnerable districts in the country. The rabies control program aimed at eradicating rabies from the country will be strengthened by also engaging the non-governmental organizations in this effort. A comprehensive sterilization program for stray dogs will be introduced by the Department of Animal Production and Health. An allocation of 100 million rupees will be made for this purpose. Honorable Dinesh Gunawarna, what I am saying is, it's not an election budget. We treat dogs also in this endeavor. Take care of dogs. Honorable Nimal's wife will be quite glad about this. The incidence of non-communicable diseases, NCDs in particular, together with an aging population, has given rise to the need for proper palliative care being introduced. As such, we will facilitate capacity building in palliative care for doctors, nurses, and medical professionals. Mr. Speaker, sports is an integral part of a healthy society and also builds leadership and team spirit. We have already allocated 3,800 million rupees towards sports. In addition, I propose the following. The Bernard Aluhyare Sports Stadium in Mathale and the Veera Singha Mallimarachi Playground in Kolannava will be upgraded to support our rural youth in sports. Towards this endeavor, 300 million rupees will be provided for each of the programs over 2 years. The National Olympic Fund will be enhanced to support sports such as athletics, volleyball, table tennis, etc. Culture of research and development. While there are a number of research institutes, both state and non-state in the country, most research has not been converted to applicable or commercial solutions, giving rise to questions about the effectiveness of the investments made thus far. As such, our approach in research and investments will be driven by results and also investments into futuristic sciences so as to be prepared for the needs of the years to come. We will introduce the Science at Work Challenge, where challenges in the following 5 themes will be posed to the scientific community to work on, and viable solutions will be supported to be implemented with the allocation of the required finances. First one, reducing post-harvest losses in agriculture and fisheries. Second one, creating global benchmark yields in paddy and minor crops. Third one, addressing human-elephant conflict. Fourth one, create 1,500 square feet low-cost livable housing units and value addition to local medicinal plants and bioproducts to position them as nutraceuticals, making our cities smarter. Mr. Speaker, I am sure this House will agree that our cities are slowly transforming themselves into citizen-friendly, sustainable and socially equitable spaces. Colombo Colombo is now being called is becoming the Garden City of Asia, and the urban regeneration project, over 8,000 houses have already been completed and over 7,500 houses are being constructed, while another 5,000 houses will commence construction at a cost of 8,000 million rupees. Sukitapurwara Township Development Program, which covers all the 9 provinces, is being implemented to enhance inclusive and sustainable urbanization in the country. 3,000 million rupees has been already allocated for this purpose, and I propose to allocate a further sum of 2,000 million rupees to facilitate this program. Bear Lake Cleaning Project, that initially commenced in 2000 with USAID, will be completed in order to restore water quality. Solid waste management that has been a key issue in the city of Colombo is now being addressed with government investments in Aruvakkalu, with an investment of almost 7,600 million rupees in 2019. Private sector investments are also in progress. Flood and drainage management, enhancement of drainage capacity in the Colombo Water Basin, Bera Lake Linear Park and Baddagana Park, and the various Gaga projects are designed to mitigate floods within Colombo and the greater Colombo areas. For this purpose, we have already allocated 10,900 million rupees.
Mr. Speaker, we have extended our investment beyond Colombo City into Gaul, Kandy and Jaffna cities, which includes traffic management measures, rehabilitation of major trains and flood reduction measures, urban upgrading, restoration and adaptive reuse of historic and landmark buildings, and coastal erosion reduction measures for selected areas. And the iconic old town hall building in Jaffna was during the conflict. It is now a time requirement to reconstruct Jaffna town hall. I propose 700 million for this effort. Whilst safeguarding and protecting our hill country heritage, special attention will be paid to nurturing crafts, architecture, cultural aspects, traditions, indigenous medicine and places with historical value inherent to the hill country. For now, we have allocated 900 million, but we plan to allocate more funds. The Bogambara Prison, a heritage building, will be redeveloped and repositioned as a public space in 2 years. For this year, we will allocate 750 million rupees. Township development work in Kalmine, Valachena, Talaimana and Samanthurai will be further supported. Mr. Speaker, all government and private commercial buildings in the country will be disability friendly by 2023. It is envisaged that this will be a mandatory requirement for new building approvals from 1st January 2020. All state buildings will be made disability friendly by 2022. In line with the objective of increasing the reach of pipe-borne water at least 60 50% by 2020. We have undertaken 45,000 million rupee worth of water projects covering all districts. We will extend our support further through community-based water supply schemes, Praja Jala Abhiman, to cover 1,000 villages where almost 200,000 families, I believe, from 22nd of May this year, it will be implemented throughout the country. For the initial stage, we have allocated 1,500 million rupees, Mr. Speaker. By now, huge traffic jams have become the order of the day. Our transport sector is yet not meeting the needs of a middle-income country. Our public transport system needs urgent attention with investment made in a more integrated manner. The Sahasrara Bus Modernization Program will get priority in the next 5 years to transform bus services across the country. I believe it was Honorable Minister Nimal who proposed that when he was with us. For that program, we will give priority. Private sector bus employees will now have better job security with EPF and ETF contributions being made and being eligible to get loan facilities as an incentive for better service towards passengers. Revenue support fund will be established. They have been motivated to then. A revenue support fund will be established as a transitional arrangement to enable bus owners to be paid on a monthly basis for the kilometer operated rather than the highly unsatisfactory competition that exists, causing inconvenience to the public, accidents and chaos on our roads. A revenue support fund will be established. We also commit to introducing within the next few months, starting with the central and the western provinces, prepaid fare cards, electronic tracking of buses using GPS and information on express and bus schedules delivered to the palm of the passenger through mobile applications. Modern multimodal passenger terminals will become a reality starting from Markampura and will include Kandy, Kadavatta, Petta and Moratuwa. We will ensure the 40% share of the SLTP market and improve efficiency of both the SLTP and private bus operations by establishing a joint bus operation control center connected to live digital data streams throughout the country, so the bus transport will become an attractive option for the 21st century. The CTB and the private bus operators, both of them will have improved efficiency through that. For that, 1,300 million rupees has been allocated. The SLTB's fleet will be expanded with the addition of 250 buses with safety and user-friendly standards in the next 2 years. SLTB will also introduce buses that are more suited for those with special needs. For this purpose, the allocation is 1,500 million rupees. Not only that, a concessionary loan city ride under the Enterprise Sri Lanka will be introduced. There will be 1,000 luxury buses, but the ordinary people will get 1,000 air-conditioned buses. The city ride under the Enterprise Sri Lanka will be introduced, and 75% of the interest cost will be borne by the government, and there is a grace period of 1 year for that, and they can pay back the loan in 5 years. At the same time, three-wheelers will be supported through a concessionary loan mini-taxi electric three-wheeler under Enterprise Sri Lanka loan scheme to upgrade into electric three-wheelers and small cars that will be more environmental friendly, safe and more comfortable. The three-wheelers will be provided concessionary loans. 75% of the interest rate will be by the government, and the existing three-wheeler should be disposed accordingly. Mr. Speaker, our railways are grossly underutilized. There is a significant demand for an improved railway service, which we believe can be better provided in conjunction with the private sector. In this regard, we will allow the private sector to lease or rent Sri Lanka Railways carriages and improve their facilities in the four main lines. Work on the Colombo City Light Rail Transit will commence in 2019, connecting Malabe to Fort, and 5,000 million rupees is already allocated for that. Mr. Speaker, the Southern Expressways extension and the Outer Circular Road will be completed in 2019, and work on the Central Expressway Section 1 and 3 will commence, while continuing work on Section 2. To further improve connectivity, work on the Rwanpura Expressway connecting the Ratnapura district to Southern Expressway will commence in 2019. At the same time, Run Mawat program. Under that program, the government has invested a significant amount of resources, and in addition to that, especially to construct the rural roads, we have allocated 10,000 million rupees or 10 billion rupees. For the development and maintenance of other, considering the national importance of the matter, this 10,000 million rupee has been allocated under Run Mawat program. Public sector service delivery. In 2016, our government took steps to absorb the monthly interim allowance of 10,000 rupees and the special allowance in the basic salary to the public sector employees in five phases. From 2016 to 2020, by maintaining the 1:4:7 ratio, which resulted to increase the public sector salary. Actually, even the people who get those salaries do not talk about this. Our government granted that hike in 2016 as a result. All the public sector salaries have increased by 107%. For this purpose, this year as well, we allocate another 40 million to grant that increase. For example, Karasahayaka received 11,730 when we came to power, but by now the same person has a salary increased to 21,400 rupees. A teacher had a salary of 16,000 in January 2015. This year, a teacher receives 29,000 rupees. A secretary to a ministry got 47,000. But by this year, it has increased to 88,000. So in this manner, we have increased the salaries of public sector workers. And then the president, to minimize the anomalies, appointed a special committee. That report was received a few weeks earlier. That report is being studied by the cabinet at present. After such studying, the salary increments recommended by that would be granted in due course. But until such time, what we have already provided in addition to that, from the 1st of July, all public sector workers will get another 2,500 allowance. And pensioners, they, from 2006 under your government, there was an anomaly. we failed to address those anomalies. Before 31st December 2015, roughly 560,000 pensioners are there, whose pensions are calculated based on the Public Administration Circular number 6/2006. In addition to that, around 71,000 pensioners retired during the period of 1st January 2016 to 31st December 2018. And they are drawing pensions based on the eligible basic salary at the time of retirement based on the Public Interest Circular number 3/2016. There is a disparity of pensions drawn by the pensioners who have retired before 1st January 2016 and the ones who were entitled to different phases of the salary increase given by the Public Service Circular number 3/2016. Therefore, I propose a pension revision having incorporated the first two phases of the Public Interest Circular 3/2016 to the basic salary obtained by the pensioner at the time of retirement with effect from 1st July 2019. I propose to allocate an additional sum of 12,000 million rupees for that revision this year to rectify the pension anomalies. This is an additional provision. This will benefit around 585,000 affected pensioners. For an example, a lower grade government employee's pension will increase by at least 1,600 rupees per month. A grade 1 teacher will have a 4,600 rupee increase in the monthly pension, and the pension of secretary to a ministry will increase by 12,000 rupees per month. This is based on ...25 years service and retirement prior to 31st December 2015. In 2017 and 2018, allowances of the police department were increased. However, I was shocked to find the army saying that for 20 years, the army, especially under your government depended on the army for your survival. You reaffirmed your power showing the army, but you forgot to increase the allowances. The uniform allowance, there is commando allowance. You depend on the war heroes, but the commando allowance has not changed in 20 years. It is 10,000. We will make that 5,000 from today. Commando allowance will be 5,000 and uniform allowance. Not only that, they should receive a rent allowance for 20 years that has not been revised. We increase that by 100% with effect from today. Not only that, the uniform allowance, it is a small amount. You build a palatial house, but 255 rupees is the allowance provided for uniforms. 255 rupees. We increase that to 600 rupees for colonel and others. They get 255. We increase that to 535, 100% increase. For other ranks, 170 for the so-called heroes, but we make that 350 rupees. The commando allows, which was at 1,000 rupees, will be increased to 5,000 rupees. It is not only for the army, for the air force and the navy also these allowances will be provided. Mr. Speaker, we need to enhance the quality and productivity of our public sector through technology and modernization. I propose to continue to support this process, especially the commission to investigate the allegations of private corruption will be strengthened, especially to engage in awareness programs amongst the public. We allocate 100 million rupees as an immediate investment. Mr. Speaker, the digitalization of government procedures has already begun and will continue into 2019 as well, with focus on e-governmental digital document management. And for that, 800 million rupees has been allocated. Entrepreneurs in Grama Shakti production villages will also be further assisted through access to technology. For that, we propose to allocate 500 million. Youth empowerment through enhancement of skills will be further supported by the Smart Sri Lanka project. The Fiscal Management Responsibility Act No. 3 of 2003 will be amended with a view to strengthening fiscal rules with legally binding fiscal targets, a clearly defined escape clause and correction mechanism in case of a target breach. The new Monetary Law Act, as proposed in the last budget, has been drafted. This is a landmark legislation that will introduce discipline to help eliminate the monetary and fiscal profligacy that has plagued our country for decades. Gender-based budgeting.
Committed to gender-responsive budgeting, and initial steps have already been taken by issuing an addendum to the budget call of 2018 with the objective of improving the participation of women in the workforce. 12 key performance indicators have been identified and action will be initiated to achieve this. I also propose to establish a focal point on gender perspectives under each ministry to aggregate relevant data.
Mr. Speaker, social safety net. Unfortunately, Sri Lanka's IPEX welfare system, Samurdhi, which was established in 1994 to facilitate the poor graduate to a higher income level, has failed not only to protect the vulnerable but also to strengthen and support them. It has now become politicized to such an extent that many Samurdhi officials are strongly affiliated to a certain political party. Samurdhi means a fully politicized political campaign. As such, this has resulted in the deserving not benefiting from this scheme, while those who do not deserve, mostly card-carrying members of a particular political party, continue to enjoy these free subsidies for merely supporting the politics of the day, resulting in the poor remaining poor. This has severely compromised the economic freedom of our workers. Therefore, I propose to develop an objective, transparent and measurable criteria to streamline the Samurdhi program in a more effective manner. Through that, it will actually facilitate the addition of around 6 lakhs deserving household. For this, 10,000 million rupees has been allocated. Many deserving families have been left out merely because of their loyalty to other political parties. Mr. Speaker, Samurdhi beneficiaries have accumulated significant funds in the Samurdhi and other banks. They have got minimal returns on this investment and no recourse to any withdrawals. But this is their money. Therefore, I propose to allow all Samurdhi beneficiaries to withdraw up to 30,000 rupees each from their Samurdhi compulsory savings in banks in two installments in April and November this year. 30,000 rupees. Every Samurdhi beneficiary will be able to withdraw that money from their own bank accounts. Up to now, they saved and others spent their money, but they have not seen the color of their money. Sri Lanka faces a growing challenge due to its aging population. To address this issue in a holistic manner, the government will take steps to introduce a national pension plan with a sustainable financing structure, clean, green, and a sustainable environment. Conservation and protection will only be effective if society is an active part of this endeavor. As such, community-based green clubs will be established in every divisional secretariat consisting of volunteers, especially students. These clubs will be engaged. Anyone in that area can join this. They are open to anyone for the commencement of this program for 8 divisional secretariat. We plan to provide 2.5 million rupees for the initial work. Their work will include, especially on holidays, to engage in tree planting programs, and if it is the coastal area, to keep the beaches clean, because if you see our beaches, they have been polluted by plastic and other garbage. Cleaning beaches and separation of waste, etc. These clubs will contribute for that. We will continue investments in creating a green and clean public space, such as Harita and eco-friendly flags, which will enable the greening of our cities and villages, while facilitating strange bonds in communities. By now, my state minister, Honorable Iran Vikramaratna, under his guidance, 40 Harita Udyana are being constructed. We will continue this program. We will partner the Colombo Municipal Council in city beautification endeavor. And we have allocated 1,000 million rupees already. Further, the Nilvalaiyila Model Park and Mega Zone will also be completed in 2019. Another 1,000 million rupees has been allocated. Mangroves are ecosystems that stabilize coastlines, provide critical habitats for many animals, and sequester more carbon dioxide than other kinds of forests, making them indispensable in combating climate change. However, our mangroves are fast receding, and as such, we will support the replanting of mangroves. And as the first stage, there will be nurseries established. For that, we have allocated 50 million rupees to habitat the houses and other structure facilities were affected by disasters. 2,000 million rupees will be channeled, and it will also introduce disaster resilient houses in selected high-risk districts. Mr. Speaker, in the recent past, we have experienced impact of droughts and floods resulting in the loss of lives, loss of income and property. The victims of such disasters, both individuals and corporate, will have to be compensated immediately, and to mitigate the impact of the loss and to facilitate more efficient and effective method of doing so, we will allocate 20,000 million rupees over the medium term as a disaster management contingency fund. Sri Lanka has been categorized by the Enform Global Risk Index as a high-risk country prone to natural disasters. In the past few years, we have seen that while one part of the country was faced with severe droughts. Other parts of the country experienced heavy floods during the same period of the year. Hence, it has become a timely need to take proactive measures to allocate resources to mitigate both the vulnerability of natural disasters and to compensate the affected people and properties. Therefore, it is required to strengthen the natural disaster insurance scheme that the government introduced in 2016 by allocating an additional 1,000 million rupees from this year to increase the annual government premium from 500 rupees to 1,500 million rupees. The Ministry of Women, Child Affairs and Dry Zone Development will be allocated 250 million to enhance initiatives to develop the dry zone in addition to the Gamperli and other development initiatives already in place and proposed. The proliferation of single-use plastic products, including plastic bags, packaging, plastic bottles, lunch sheets, have led to significant environmental cost. As a first step in introducing appropriate regulation for this sector, it will be mandatory for any entity manufacturing or importing single-use plastics to register with the Ministry of Industry and Commerce before the 1st of September 2019. Sri Lanka will develop a consolidated plan for marine conservation to protect and sustainably manage its marine resources. We will progress towards declaring the exclusive economic zone of Sri Lanka as a marine conservation area, entailing measures to sustainably manage marine biodiversity to enhance socio-economic benefits to the country. Religion, arts and culture. We recognize the unique contribution of artists, writers and musicians towards enriching our society and enhancing Sri Lanka's cultural value. Thus, our government has continually supported the development of culture and arts in Sri Lanka. We will also introduce and implement a fair scheme of royalty payment for our artists so that they continue to benefit from their creations when such creations are aired, telecast or otherwise publicized. This will protect their creations and provide them with a continuous income source. To further support this initiative, we have made a royalty income up to 50,000 rupees per month, exempt from withholding tax. Mr. Speaker, we have undertaken the rehabilitation of Buddhist temples and other religious places of worship under the Gamperliya scheme. And for the year 2019, we have increased the allocation. We have doubled the amount up to 10 lakhs. Solar power will also be provided under Gamperliya for places of worship to further mitigate their energy costs and relieve the burden on our national electricity grid. Every temple will be provided 3 lakhs for the solar power scheme. The infrastructure facilities at the Madhu Church will also be improved, and for that 200 million rupees will be allocated. The renovation work at John De Silva Theatre will be completed by 2020 with the installation of state-of-the-art equipment.
The National Art Gallery will be modernized and a new wing for modern art will be established. Work on world-class performance center in Morotu will commence in 2019.
Empowerment. Mr. Speaker, last year we initiated a multi-pronged strategy to address the key issues faced in particular by our people in the north and the east. Our strategy was driven by the objective of creating sustainable livelihoods, including assisting those heavily indebted and assisting the marginalized. This will also be complemented by the government's commitment to ensuring a framework where there is justice for all stakeholders, ensuring that the violence of the past will never recur again. We have just launched the economic development framework for the Northern Province, along with stakeholders and the Central Bank of Sri Lanka. Steps are now being taken to convert this into a concrete work plan, which will benefit all the citizens in the North. We will extend this framework to others similarly affected districts in the country. Office of National Unity and Reconciliation will be requested to participate in this national effort. Communicating our reconciliation efforts in a stronger and more meaningful manner is critical for sustainability of all our endeavors in these areas. Towards this end, I propose to allocate ₹200 million to the SCRM, which comes under the Honorable Prime Minister's office, for communication and awareness programs in this regard. The Office for Reparations Bill was passed by this House and will be begun in 2019. We will provide the required sources for the office to be set up and stalled adequately. The Office of the Missing Persons will be adequately resourced to support families of all persons island-wide, including the missing in action of the armed forces and the police who have obtained a certificate of absence. They will be provided the ₹6,000 per month until the Office of Reparation is established and their cases are resolved. This allowance of ₹6,000 a month will be available even to the mothers in the South who may have got certificates of absence for their missing people, and also, as I said earlier, for the families of the missing soldiers. These families will also be given preferential access to relevant Enterprise Sri Lanka loan schemes and will be required to join the livelihood program coordinated by ONUR. Mr. Speaker, to fast-track development in the North and the East, we propose to establish the Palmyra Fund with an investment of ₹5 billion spread over 2 years. We invite well-wishers, philanthropists, especially in the diaspora, to contribute to this fund, which will be administered by the Treasury. The funds will be routed through the government agents for the development activities on the war-affected areas. In addition to these development activities, the fund will also channel resources towards programs that address alcoholism, drug abuse, youth unemployment, civil society-initiated counseling and support program. In 2018, significant investment in producer cooperatives sought to urgently create jobs and decent incomes by initiating 50 small industries in the rural economy. The groundwork laid last year allows us to scale up this program rapidly with another 50 cooperative small industries and take existing industries to the next stage of development. Texilon Social Ventures, a non-profit company of mainly young Sri Lankan engineers and technology graduates, have provided voluntary technical service during our flagship small industries producer cooperative program in the North. This support has been invaluable for successful government investments, and I hope young professionals in other regions will also make a similar contribution to our national economy. The debt relief scheme will be continued through the cooperative rural banks and thrift and credit cooperative societies, and we will be giving a further $250 million this year. An integrated project to create industrial-scale production of toddy bottling and production of jaggery will be set up in the Northern Province in collaboration with relevant cooperative societies. $100 million has been allocated. To facilitate more efficient trade links between farmers and the markets, 10 satellite economic centres connected to a central economic centre will be established in the Northern Province. The giant tank will be rehabilitated, facilitating agriculture, especially in Manna. $300 million has been allocated. ₹2,000 million has been allocated to provide facilities such as water, electricity for the already built houses and to support for partly built or destroyed houses in the north and the east. We have provided debt relief to around 45,000 women who are residents of the drought-affected districts of Trincomalee, Ampara, Batticlo, Jaffna, Mullaitivu, Kilinochchi, Vavuniya, Mana, Kurunayagala, Puttalam, Anuradhapura and Polonnaruwa, who have availed themselves of microfinance loans up to a maximum of 100,000 and outstanding for at least 3 consecutive months since June 2018. This initial step will be followed up with concessional loans from the Enterprise Sri Lanka program and the cooperative movement in order that this situation is mitigated in the future. Our efforts to ensure reconciliation and provide a sustainable livelihood in the northern province will be further strengthened through the work undertaken by ONUR, including Sahodara Pasal, Heal the Past, Build the Future, Virulia Shakti, a program for military widows, programs for peace through arts and culture, and the Integrated Village Development Program. ONUR will be further supported to carry out and enhance these programs and design and implement new ones.
Mr. Speaker, Sri Lanka's tax to GDP ratio fell to one of the lowest in the world, and the nation's tax efficiency ratio is also below that peer countries. In this context, I propose the following revenue proposals to enhance the fiscal revenue in the year 2019 and also to address certain anomalies in the taxation system. Therefore, revision of excise duty on cigarettes effective from 6th March 2019, that means midnight today. And introduction of nation building tax on manufacture of cigarettes effective from 1st of June 2019. Accordingly, excise duty on cigarettes, which are more than 60 millimeters, will be increased by 12%, resulting in an increase of 5 rupees per stick on average. Excise duty on cigarettes will now be based on indexation with a minimum annual duty, increase capturing annual inflation and GDP growth. This will ensure revenue protection and control affordability. Revision of excise duty and implementation of luxury tax on motor vehicles effective from 6th of March 2019. The revision of the excise duty will have a minimal impact on smaller personal vehicles. In addition, the 200% cash margin requirements on motor vehicle imports will be removed in the near future. That will be effective. Revision of cess duty on importation of tender leaves, BD leaves, from 2,500 rupees to 3,500 rupees per kilo, effective from 6th March 2019, and a price of BD will be increased by only 50 cents. Revision of embarkation fee by $10 per person. It will be effective from 1st of August 2019.
In place of this existing stamp duty on all foreign payments made by using any credit cards and debit cards, these are only for foreign payments, this will be made effective from the 1st June 2019. This proposal will also help address taxation of offshore digital services.
Revision of fee on alteration of passports and issuance of passports effective from 1st of April 2019. For one service, it will be increased by 5,000 rupees, and ordinary service, it will be increased from 3,000 rupees. And furthermore, revision of the price of special number plates for motor vehicles issued by the Department of Motor Traffic, effective from 1st of June 2019. These special number plates are taken illegally, obtained illegally. If you need 119, then you can give a call to this person and then obtain that special number plate. The personalized number plates, if you want to obtain a personalized number plate, then you can obtain a number plate calling Dinesh 1. And furthermore, revision of excise duty on liquor manufactured locally will be based on indexation effective from midnight today, where the minimum annual duty increase is according to an index capturing annual inflation and GDP growth. Piece-based VAT rate on disposal of garments by BOI-approved enterprises will be revised from 75 rupees to 100 rupees on the basis of inflation indexation effective from 1st of June 2019. And furthermore, 15% increase of all fees and charges which have not been revised since 2016. And furthermore, increase of toll on expressways by 100 rupees during peak hours effective from 1st of April 2019. That means when you are traveling during the rush hour, the price will have an increase of 100 rupees. Increase of license fee of casinos from 200 million rupees to 400 million rupees per annum, and Rugino games to 10,000 million rupees per annum. The casino turnover levy will be charged at 15 rupees. These new charges will be effective from 1st of April 2019. And furthermore, a casino entrance fee of $50 per person will be charged effective from 1st of June 2019. This system is followed even in countries like Singapore. Revision of economic service charge on selected imported goods. Revision of unit rate based custom import duty on selected goods including fruit drink, liquor and tobacco effective from 6th of March 2019. This has been mentioned in your book. Mr. Speaker, the details of the revenue and expenditure proposals are described in the technical note. The relevant amendments to the borrowing limit for the 2019 appropriation bill for the financial year 2019 is presented in Annexure 3. The revenue proposals are presented in Annexure 1. Further, the underlying fiscal framework is presented in Annexure 4. Considering the administrative processes that needs to be followed in executing the mandated work, I proposed of saving of 10% to 15% from capital and goods and services expenditure. The document under the FMR Act No. 3 of 2003, which has to be submitted along with the second reading of the budget, is also tabled. Mr. Speaker, I wish to say that the country's strength, Mr. Speaker, oftentimes our economic policies have been guided by short-termism, which has created uncertainty and chaos in our systems. This has prevented the country from reaping the benefits of its true potential. In fact, our people have had a raw deal. Mr. Speaker, I wish to thank His Excellency the President and the Honorable Prime Minister for the guidance given. I wish to thank my State Minister, Honorable Erwan Vikramaratne, for his support. And furthermore, I wish to also thank all those who has sent their proposals, and I am grateful to my colleagues at the Cabinet and all members of Parliament for the support extended. And furthermore, I would like to thank our Secretary, Mr. Samaratunga, and other officials, and our consultants, Mr. Manoti Twella, and other consultants. I would like to thank them as well, and I would like to wind up. Thank you very much. Appropriation Bill 2019, second reading, adjournment of the House, Honorable Leader of the House. Adjournment of the debate till 9:30 a.m. The committee stage amendments should be submitted before 3 p.m. on 8th of March 2019. The Parliament will reconvene, will be adjourned till 9:30 a.m. tomorrow morning.